got a little warm up here, so needed a little bit of fan assist. We can be opening to Philippians in chapter 4 this afternoon. Got a lot of preparation steps, sorry. In Philippians 4, we're going to read verses 19 and 20. If you can't see that, I apologize for the coloring on. That's not 100% clear. But Philippians 4, 19 and 20 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." And there's several things that we could think about and talk about this afternoon surrounding this passage, and we'll talk about a few of the things that I think we can pull out here. But really what the Lord put on my heart as I began to prepare for this afternoon was really just this thought of our Father that we read here towards the end of verse 20. Our God and our Father. And just in the natural, there's many things that we can think about when we talk about the word Father or a person who is a father. Certainly, naturally, we can think about the male genitor of a family. We can think of a father. We can look around here, and there are several fathers in the room. We can think about the father of something for you that play golf. The father of what we consider modern golf is old Tom Morris. I don't know much about old Tom Morris other than I drove on a road once that was named after him. But when we think about just what a father is, the father is something. When we come to our Father, and interestingly enough, a couple of testimonies talked about our Father and how he has worked in these testimonies that we heard. But our Father is somebody as a spiritual lesson to us. Our Father is our Heavenly Father. He's perfect. He is near. He is present. He is everything. He doesn't sit far off. He's not some distant thing like old Tom Morris. He is very real, very present, right here and right now. As we read here, is our God, our Father. It's something very personal. As Paul opens that passage that we just read at the beginning in verse 19, he says, "My God." This is something that is very real and personal to us. He is our God. And as we read here in our text, he is the supplier. He supplies our need. And when we think about being supplied something, typically, we have this thought of receiving something. If I supply you something and send you a shipment of supplies, typically you think about receiving those. Maybe in the natural, you get Amazon deliveries. Unfortunately, we get too many Amazon deliveries. They make it too easy to just click and stuff shows up. And you can keep clicking and keep clicking, and they have no problem. Keep shipping and keep shipping. Amazon is happy to supply any need that you have, so long as you supply them the money for it. But when we think about this passage, and others have spoken on this before, but when we read that, it says, "My God shall supply all your need." And so we can reflect upon that passage and understand that he also supplies the need. He supplies both the need and the meeting of that need. That's what our Father does. There's needs that he supplies for us, and he satisfies those needs. My God shall supply all your need. He is our Father. He knows and he does best. And as Paul states here, he does according to his riches. And again, when we think about just a natural father, and again, it's not always this way. It's not always in this gender role per se. But typically, we think of the father as one that provides for the family, the food, the shelter, those sorts of things. And we understand in our economy today, there's often multiple people working in a household. But we think about the supplying of our need. Spiritually speaking, our Father supplies all of our need. We are blessed to have a perfect Father. Again, naturally, some of us may not have experienced that. I can speak in my own personal experience. There were times my father was far from perfect. He was actually rather perfect at being imperfect. Several times throughout my childhood. My kids, I'm sure they would stand up and tell you how perfect of a father I am, but if they were being honest, they certainly wouldn't say that about me. But our Father is perfect. Despite all that we face in our lives, all these needs that we have, the chaos that sometimes surrounds us in this world, things that annoy, distract, or maybe even worse in this life that we live, our Father is best. He knows best and he does best. He provides best both the need and the satisfaction of that need. Through those needs of life, those experiences of life, he often teaches us, instructs us, leads us, teaches us patience, teaches us contentment, and should teach us thanksgiving as we understand, as we learn to wait upon him. So much that we have in our lives today is instant and quick. I mentioned Amazon, for example. There are times I can buy something and they can have it at my house the same day. And again, even in the world we live in, sometimes I find that hard to believe that at 9 o'clock in the morning I can put something in my Amazon cart and they said it'll be there by 6 o'clock tonight. That's rather quick when you think about all that has to transpire for that to take place. But sometimes that instantaneous world we live in is really a disservice in a lot of ways because we struggle to wait sometimes. Because on the flip side of that, if I'm looking for something on my phone or work email or something, and the little search engine takes 30 seconds. Now, 30 seconds isn't that long, but when you're waiting for an email to pop up or a web page to load, it seems like eternity. And so if you're like me, what I do is I hit the refresh button and refresh button. I'm like, why is this taking so long? This should not take 30 seconds to load. We get in this mindset that everything has to be instant and here and now, when really our Father just wants to teach us at times through the waiting upon him, through the times where we come to him and we fall on our knees before him. There are times that our Father just wants us to spend time with him. And that's what we'll look at today as we go through this. We'll kind of look at three different things of these needs that the Father gives us, these needs that we have in our lives, the blessings that come through those needs, how he speaks to us through those needs, and how that all falls into this relationship with our Heavenly Father. So when we think about needs, a familiar passage to us is Matthew 6 and 25, and we'll just read the first part of Matthew 6 and 25, and we'll go on here in just a moment in the rest of that passage. But in Matthew 6, 25, it starts out by saying, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." Now, when we look at these things, what's more basic in our life than food and water? The things that we need just to literally to survive, food and water, as we see here, eating, drinking, our health, clothing, and the like. These are the most foundational needs of our lives here. But Jesus says, he's teaching, he says, don't worry about these things. I know you need these things. And we can take an example, and oftentimes we see ourselves as the instructors and the teacher of the young at times. And Addison, I look over here because they normally sit over here, but they're not here today. But if Addison were here today, she would be a great example to us of just how peaceful we can rest in our parents. I am confident that Addison does not worry about her next meal. She knows it's going to come. She will let you know when she's hungry, I'm sure, if she's like any other child that I've known. But I'm sure she doesn't wake up in the morning and think, man, I hope mom and dad are going to feed me today. I hope they're going to change my clothes. I hope they're going to do it. She doesn't think about any of that. And what a testimony that should be to us, because that's 100% trust in her parents. We can have that same trust in our Father, knowing he is going to supply for our every need. He goes on in this passage in Matthew 6, going on to verse 26 now, the end of 25 into 26. It says, "Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Again, we can look at birds, for example. We can look at the infants around us and learn from them. Birds neither sow nor reap, yet they have everything provided. They don't gather into barns, but our Father provides even for them. If he's going to provide for birds, which are of very little value, how much greater is he going to provide for our needs? Again, the lesson is don't worry. And again, that doesn't mean we don't have to go to work. It doesn't mean we don't have to spend money wisely and live within our means. But it means we don't have to stress excessively. We can think of Esau. He was so stressed out, so hungry in that need, in that moment, that I'm going to starve to death so you can have my birthright because it doesn't mean anything. Again, the Lord wants to teach us we don't have to stress to that level. He will provide for our every need, even if there's times where it just doesn't seem like it can all come together. A couple of Friday nights ago, Brother Greg, the senior, talked about some examples of how him and Maria needed money in a certain situation and how the Lord provided. Rachel and I, when we were newlyweds, we were short on rent. And we got a letter from the IRS that said they made an error and they sent us a check. Again, the IRS doesn't admit making errors, let alone send you money. Just out of the blue, we had already filed our taxes. If tax season was done and passed, but they said, oh, we made a mistake, so here's $300. And that was what we needed to pay our rent that month. Again, the Lord provides for our needs in ways that we just can't even express sometimes, ways that don't make sense. And again, unfortunately, that was a one and done. The IRS hasn't sent me any more money. They've taken a lot of my money, but they've yet to send me any more. But in that moment, it was what I needed, and I thank my Father for that provision. But when we go on now, we just think about these needs that we have, the experiences of life. We'll read some of these Beatitudes here in Luke chapter 6. And as you read through this list, this is something that these needs can be very real. These experiences can be very unpleasant at times. Brother Gary often expresses sometimes that when you hear something, it hits you where you live. And when you understand, you know, some of these things that Jesus teaches in this lesson here, these Beatitudes, it can hit you where you live when you think about the reality of what he's saying. But in Luke chapter 6 and verse 20, we'll read there. Then he lifted up his eyes towards his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast you out as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets." Again, there's a lot of things in this passage that are absolutely unpleasant when we think about them in the natural. Financially, materially, hunger, all these different things that the Lord is teaching his disciples that if you have them, you can be blessed in that because it's what I have put before you. It's what I've put into your life. We see these needs in our own life. We see hate. We see mistreatment. We see misunderstanding. There are times that people revile us for no reason other than being children of God. There's times we weep. There's times we have sorrow. There's times we're excluded. There's times that we just find ourselves looking to him because we don't understand why this need exists. But in them all, the Lord says, you will possess, you will be filled, you will laugh. As it comes to a conclusion there, it says, ultimately, you're going to rejoice and leap for joy because your reward in heaven is far greater than anything here. That's what our Father has provided for us. The struggle is real. Hunger, weeping, reviling, those are our things that are absolutely real in our lives. Yet when this suffering comes, he provides us comfort. Even in the suffering, our Lord is a great comfort to us and ultimately allows us to comfort those around us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 3 and 4, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." The Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, that is who he is to us. Our Father that shows us mercies, who makes those mercies new every day. One of the most reassuring things that we can do, I remember as a kid, again, when you were scared, when you were hurt, one of the most reassuring things we could do was run to our parents for strength, for comfort, for solace. Again, now, even as an adult, I don't so much lean on my parents for that comfort and strength when I'm hurting. I have my wife, I have my family, but ultimately I can just come and fall on my face before my Heavenly Father. To find that strength in my time of need. To get to Philippians 4:13, as somebody mentioned just a moment ago. To get to that point where I can understand I can do all things through Christ. The comfort of our Heavenly Father is so much greater than anything this world could afford. Even those that we love the most, those that we are the closest to in this earth, he provides far greater than they ever could. I'm thankful for that love, that support, that comfort that we get from our family, from our friends, but nothing compares to who our God is, the God of all comfort, our Father. Even when we are in great need, as it says here, we can comfort others because we have such comfort and assurance in knowing and trusting our Father that can comfort those around us. Our Father is truly amazing. As we consider these needs, we also consider how he blesses us in these needs. You can be turning over to Ephesians chapter 1. As we look at these needs that he provides, he supplies the need and the satisfying of those needs. But in that process, we are also blessed through the experiences that he allows us to go through and what we learn and the blessings we glean as we go through them. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, we see, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in him, in love, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved." Who has blessed? He has blessed us. In the past tense, this has already been an action conferred upon us. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Again, blessings that are of a divine order, blessings that are eternal, for a purpose, leading, calling, preparing us to do his will. Adoption, made his child, made sons of God, as we read there, by the good pleasure and for his glory, chosen, made accepted, endued with special honor. There is great joy and privilege that comes from being a child of the King. Naturally, there's great privilege of being born into a wealthy family or a powerful family. But as a believer, there's far greater privilege that is ours by being a child of God. We read just two of them here in Romans 1:7. "To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace, what great gifts, what great blessings those are to us. We can think of that familiar passage in Ephesians chapter 2. "By grace you have been saved, through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God." Or later in Romans we read, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ." Through the cross, God has granted undeserved forgiveness, grace, as well as wholeness and reconciliation, that peace that we have from him by abolishing the distance, the enmity that was between us and God. He has given us that peace. Additionally, he provides us peace day by day as we appropriate the knowledge and understanding of his will in our lives. As we allow it to govern our thoughts and our actions, we have peace knowing him because we experience that love that he gives to us. Our Father, in his great goodness and his benevolence, blesses us with these provisions and so many more. We can turn over to Luke chapter 11, in verse 11, and we see that he has this desire for us to come to him. When we have needs, his desire is for him to come to us, to have those needs met, to understand that he wants us to come before him, to present our needs in supplication, and to ask for the needs that we have. Here, certainly speaking of the gift of the Holy Spirit, but also there's a broader application in our lives. In Luke 11:11, it says, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Again, giving a natural example, no father among us sitting here, I'm confident, would give their kids a scorpion if they asked for an egg. Just naturally, that's not something that would cross our mind. Again, there's times that maybe our children deserve to get a scorpion rather than an egg. But as a good father, we would never think about giving them something that's going to harm them intentionally. Jesus teaching here about the Spirit and informing his believers to come and ask for the infilling of the Spirit that is to come, that was promised, and asking, and seeking, and knocking. But for us, it's day by day coming and asking for more of him, asking for more of his fullness. Again, the infilling of the Spirit, something that's so important in our life and our walk, is not the terminal event of our walk. We must continue on with him daily, being filled with the Spirit, continuing to ask for more and more of him, more knowledge and more understanding. As we get to Ephesians chapter 1, we see what Paul here prays for the saints of Ephesus as he's telling them, recounting them, that when he thinks about them, these are the things that come to mind. His desire is for them to know more about the Lord, know more about their Father. In Ephesians 1, in verse 17, it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. Praying for the Ephesians here that they might receive from the Father of glory. Again, we take prayer requests in this meeting, and good that we do that, that we can pray one for another. We have many needs, as we heard this morning, many, many physical needs in our meeting. But again, as we pray for these, we always pray for the Lord's will to be done. Ultimately, as we know him by the experience of these needs that we have, I pray that this also is part of our prayer for one another, that God might give each of us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, praying that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, that we might know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory. Again, what a privilege is ours to be drawn in to understand, to know him. As a member of a family, as growing up, I understood kind of the family business, if you will, what was going on in our family, especially as I grew up older and older, and my dad ran his own business, and we worked for my dad at times. We understood how this all fit together, how he had to have a business that operated and had revenue for us to eat and all these things, and we became partakers of that work, each of us through our high school years and even beyond for some of my family members. We understood that business. We understood how it worked. But as we grew and understood more, my dad explained more of how the business operated, more of the things we needed to do in order for it to be successful and things like that. As we grow up and mature in our walk with the Lord, he wants us to have more and more revelation of him. But ultimately, how do we get to know more about him? How do we get to know more about anybody? Oftentimes, we speak to them. We listen to them, as we did with my dad and his business. And our relationship with our Heavenly Father, we need to listen to him. We are blessed and privileged to come into his presence. We are blessed and privileged to hear from him. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, you can turn over there and we understand how he speaks to us, how we can hear from him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as we read here in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. And again, there are times when we tell people and we talk to people. I was just talking to Greg about this a couple weeks ago, about him talking about a friend of his when he told him that the Lord spoke to him. His friend was kind of dumbfounded. And what do you mean the Lord spoke to you? He's never spoken to me. But as we read here, we understand that the word of the Lord works effectively. The Lord speaks to us through his word. Daily, as we get into his word, the Lord is speaking to us. The inspiration behind the word that's been recorded for us in the word of God is directly from our Father. Again, naturally, when Rachel and I were first dating and I was in Texas, we wrote letters back and forth. And it was very romantic and Hollywood-like, because when I would open a letter from her, I could hear her voice reading to me. And it was like she was just talking to me through the words on the page. But very literally, that's what our Father does for us. He speaks directly to us by his word. The very words of the Lord are penned for us, for each of us individually. And if you meditate upon that for a moment, I hope that it moves you to understand that all he has gone through to preserve this word for us, to record it, to have it translated into our native tongue, is so that we can hear from him. What a privilege is ours to hear from the Lord, to have the Holy Spirit as a tutor that takes of what is the Lord's and makes it known to us. Whatever he speaks, he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me and take what of my, take what is mine and declare it to you. He guides us, leads us, teaches us. It comes through the reading of the word, through the hearing of the word, through prayer and meditation. The Lord speaks to us. We have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know all the things that have freely been given to us. To know, to understand, and ultimately to do. Jesus, in teaching his disciples, said, but he said to them, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. True joy comes not just from knowing, but also applying, doing, obeying the word, the instruction that the Lord gives us, because he gives it for our good, for our benefit. It's not to distract us or constrain us from something that we perceive as fun and the things that we really want to do. But it's a love that constrains us to a narrow path, to a path of blessing, to a path of joy, to a path of peace, and ultimately to a heavenly inheritance which he has prepared for us. We read about that in 1 Peter. We can turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he's speaking here of a heavenly inheritance born by a living hope that has been presented to us through Christ. In verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1, we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Our Father provides for us certainly a heavenly inheritance to come. But as Peter tells us here, it's a living hope through the resurrection, through the life of Christ. Right now, yes, an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, not fading away, but something that we can take possession of now. He left us an inheritance. Again, as a natural parent, as a natural father, I would love to leave my children an inheritance, but kids, it's not going to be much. I hope not to leave you too much debt. We'll just put it that way. But our Father provides so much more for us, an eternal inheritance. And as a father, naturally speaking, from a spiritual perspective, the one thing I hope to leave for my kids is a spiritual inheritance, a lineage that one has walked with the Lord so that they might learn to walk with the Lord, and that their children might learn to walk with the Lord and their children's children. Again, that is the inheritance that we for sure can pass down through our family. But this is an inheritance that we partake of now. We don't have to wait until the end. We can live it now. We can partake now. What a great God and Father we serve, one who loves us, one who trusts us, one who is near to us, who is what we might refer to as our Abba Father. And again, if you look at this word Abba, it's used three times in the New Testament. It's an Aramaic word, and it's the term is very personal or familiar, and I think this definition came from Vines. I didn't write it down, but the definition is it's a familial name in contrast to Father, which is more of a title or relationship. Abba is a word framed by the lips of infants and betokens unreasoning trust. Father expresses an intelligent understanding of that relationship. So when you put those together, you see that unreasoning trust and love and that confidence of knowing who your Father is. We can turn to Mark chapter 14, and we see Jesus himself using this term. And when we see these words come together, there's a simplicity and a warmth, understanding that familiar term of calling somebody by a term of endearment. He went a little further here in Mark 14, verse 35, it says, and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but you will. Again, so much to unpack in that verse there. But just understanding Jesus himself, part of the triune God himself, speaks to his Father in this familial tone of Abba, what we might say Daddy in our vernacular today, not certainly a direct translation by any means. But we too, the little insignificant beings that we are, may too approach our Heavenly Father with this same familiar and familial expression in Romans 8 and verse 14. We can turn over there and read this passage as we begin to wrap up this afternoon. In Romans 8:14, it goes on to say, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Again, in the same definition that I was reading, it was stated in there that it was forbidden for slaves to address the head of the family by this title, Abba. Again, as we read here, we don't have that spirit of bondage. We don't have that spirit of slavery. We have a spirit of adoption by which we are called children of God, by which we can cry out, Abba, Father. Again, my children can call me their father by virtue of being born into our family. They can call me daddy or whatever term of endearment, and Taylor and Ryan have a lot of terms of endearment for me. We don't have time to get into all of them today. But suffice to say, they can call me daddy because they've come to learn and understand and be familiar with the love that I have for them. They've experienced needs in their life. They've experienced comfort. They've experienced a very close relationship and fellowship within our family. We have experienced the blessing of comfort and love that comes as a member of a natural family at times. But child of God, our experience is all this and so much more to an infinity level when it comes to our Heavenly Father. We can take full advantage of this privilege and blessing that is ours as a child, to experience every spiritual blessing with which we have been blessed by our Father. We can rejoice that we daily have access to our loving Heavenly Father, whom we can cry out, Abba, and as our opening passage says, "My God shall supply all your need by his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and our Father be glory forever and ever." We can rejoice and rest in the needs, the supplying of those needs, both the giving and meeting of them. We can rejoice and partake of the blessings that come through the experience of life. We can rejoice as we hear from him and find peace and rest, strength and guidance as he meets our every need. We can find great peace, comfort, and assurance in the mighty arms of our loving Abba Father. And that's where we will close today. If our musicians will come, we'll have a closing song, and then